Good morning.
Good morning.
To our guests and to the congregation. Thank you all for coming this morning to Faith and Freedom.
Yeah, yeah.
In Jesus' name. This is our call to worship. Would you like to stand to your feet? To God be the glory. This is the day that the Lord has made.
Yes.
We're going to rejoice and be glad in it. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord, and the humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. Hallelujah. I'm going to be reading 1 John chapter 4. Starting at verse 7 to the end of the chapter. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and know God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love.
Amen.
This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. We also, dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. This is how we know that we live in him, and he lives in us. He has given us of his Spirit, and we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love.
Amen.
Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. This is how we love. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. There's no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God, whom they have not seen. And he has given us this commandment: anyone who loves God must also love their brothers and sisters.
Amen.
To God be the glory. Eternal God, in the matchless and wonderful name of Jesus, we come boldly before your throne of grace to glorify, to magnify, to exalt, to reverence, to extol. We come to love on you, eternal God. We come to lift up the name of Jesus, the name that's above every name, in the name of Jesus. We come this morning, Lord God, in the power of your Son's resurrection. We come this morning, Lord God, that we may walk in the love of God as God has put love in us, in Jesus' name. We come, Lord God, to mortify the deeds of the flesh. We come, Lord God, to get out of the way so that the Holy Spirit can have free reign and free course in the name of Jesus. We come this morning, Lord God, in Jesus' name, hallelujah, to say thank you, Jesus, for your love, for your grace, for your mercy, for your kindness, for your strength in the name of Jesus. We come to say thank you for your provision, for your healing, for your delivery, for setting the captives free. We come to say thank you in the name of Jesus for what you're going to do in this service today. In the name of Jesus, we ask Almighty God, by the power of the Holy Ghost, that you move down every road in the name of Jesus, and you begin to uproot in the name of Jesus. You begin to deliver in the name of Jesus. You begin to set the captives free in the name of Jesus. You begin to heal in the name of Jesus. That you redeem, you wash, you save in the name of Jesus. That your kingdom will come, that your will be done in the name of Jesus. God, I ask by the power of the Holy Ghost that you will have free reign in the name of Jesus. Oh Lord God, in the name of Jesus, touch every heart, touch every mind in the name of Jesus. Lift up bowed down heads in the name of Jesus. Fill us with the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus. Wash us today, purge us today, cleanse us today, heal us today, use us today in the name of Jesus. God, let your will be done. God, in the name of Jesus. God, in the name of Jesus. We need you right now. We need you, God, in the name of Jesus. We need you, Father, in the name of Jesus. We need you now in this service, in the name of Jesus. We need you, God, as we sing praises to your name, in the name of Jesus. God, we need you. We need you, Father. We need you, Lord God. Have mercy upon us. Give us grace untold. Put the love of God in our heart in the name of Jesus. In fact, you have put the love of God in our heart that's shed abroad by the Holy Ghost. And so, God, help us to walk in your love in the name of Jesus. Help us to show forth your love in the name of Jesus. And so, God, I ask that you bless. Give us revelation in regards to this Faith and Freedom documentary. Give us more insight in the name of Jesus. God, let us not leave the same way we came in the name of Jesus, but do a mighty work in our hearts. Do a mighty work in our spirit. Do a mighty work in our thought process. In the name of Jesus, we give you all the glory. We give you all the praise. We give you all the honor. And we reverence you in no other name but the name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen and amen. And thank God in Jesus' name.
Good morning, church. We're going to get ready to take the Lord's Supper. I'm going to read Galatians 4. I'm just going to read verse 28. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. Then I'm going to read from 1 Corinthians, starting in chapter 11, starting at the 23rd verse. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. And I'm going to stop right there. I just thank the Lord this morning for his blood. I thank him for his body that was broken for our sins. The scripture that I read says that we are all free. We are all one in Christ Jesus. Jesus doesn't see color. We're all free in him. And we're celebrating Juneteenth today, but I just want to say that unless we become colorblind in this road, especially now the way things are going, we're just not going to make it in. And so we just have to look at it that way. God doesn't see color at all, because he said that we are made in his image. So whatever his image is, then that's how he sees us. That's what we are. And so, Father, I know that we have a film to look at, so we won't be long. But, Lord, I just thank you for this bread, Lord, that symbolizes your body. Lord, you say, do this as oft as we do, can. And we don't want to take it lightly. It's not just a ritual that we do. But it means something. It means something to the Lord, because when he comes back, we're going to be able to eat with him. We're going to be able to sup with him. And so he sacrificed his body. And so take this bread and eat of it. Father, we thank you for your blood that you shed on Calvary for us, Lord God. We thank you for shedding your blood, Father, that we might be free. We thank you, Father God, for shedding your blood so that we can be free of sin, Father God, so that one day, Father God, if we walk the way that you called us to walk, to be the way you called us to be, Father God, that we will see you again one day. That one day, Father God, we will sit at the table and drink of this blood with you. So take and drink.
Amen.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Okay, I want to welcome everybody here to Lord of the Harvest. This will be our third consecutive year to celebrate Juneteenth. We've done our Juneteenth celebration for the church and members from the neighborhood normally on Saturdays. We just decided in year three to go ahead and just have it on a Sunday service. Now, the narrator of the documentary, his name is Rasul Berry. A brother I have the pleasure of having met at one of our conferences in Grand Rapids a couple years ago. He's the main narrator. But he wrote an article. I'm just going to summarize his article for a couple minutes just to give you some of the background to Juneteenth and make more sense of the documentary, which in and of itself makes sense. But he wrote an article for Christianity Today. He wrote it June 16th, 2022, and I've got a copy of the article, and I just want to cite a few things that he shared. For Christians, Juneteenth is a time of jubilee. And Rasul says, I always thought of the Emancipation Proclamation as the document that ended slavery in America. However, he came to understand that over 2.5 years passed between President Abraham Lincoln's Emancipation Proclamation and when the first of those enslaved in the state of Texas tasted freedom. 900 more days of being separated from family and forced to work under the threat of violence and death. He talks about, Thanksgiving Day, which is something where we celebrate the pilgrims in early America, set apart days of thanksgiving to express gratitude to God for his providential grace. A tradition that was actually formalized into the national calendar in 1863 with Abraham Lincoln's official proclamation of Thanksgiving Day. And Lincoln said he was proclaiming this a national feast to heal the wounds of the nation divided by war. But an even earlier civically inspired sacred tradition was inadvertently established less than a year earlier in December 31st, 1862, when church congregations of black Christians gathered for Watch Night services on what they called Freedom's Eve. The celebratory practice of Watch Night all began with Thanksgiving, with Juneteenth, in and around the Civil War. Black churches across the country met to worship, pray, and thank God for the freedom that came to their brethren on January 1st, 1863, when the Emancipation Proclamation went into effect. but it would still be another 2 years after that first watch night service before this proclamation of freedom became a reality in the last holdout state of Texas. One of the first names given to the commemoration was not Juneteenth, it was Jubilee Day. And this is the biblical tradition that Juneteenth celebrates. In Leviticus 25, the Day of Jubilee was an old covenant festival that was observed every 50 years. Every 50 years, Israel honored the Lord in a service, a once every 50 year service, and they honored the Lord by forgiving debts. Any debts that people had to other individuals were canceled. Second, any fellow Israelites that were enslaved were released from their slavery, and people who had sold their ancestral lands to get out of debt, that land was returned to the original owners. Now that's an incredible concept of economy. See, we think in terms of socialism, we think in terms of capitalism. With socialism, the state owns the land. With capitalism, the individual owns the land. In Israel, God owned the land. And that was the premise behind the Day of Jubilee. And see, which of those three is closest to our Christian discipleship perspective? The Lord owns the land. The Lord owns us. He owns our bodies. He owns our money. He owns our property. He owns our children. The biblical process, the biblical concept is Jubilee. And so Juneteenth was the thanksgiving that the freed slaves had given, acknowledging that the Lord alone brought freedom and the Lord alone brought the land. We conclude, and Rasul says, the Apostle Paul instructed the church in Rome to rejoice with those who rejoice, to mourn with those who mourn. And Juneteenth provides a unique national moment to do both. We can rejoice with those who rejoice because freedom is a good gift from God that honors the God image-bearing nature of humanity, but it's also an invitation to mourn with those who mourn, because it provides an opportunity to reflect on the tragedy of American slavery that enslaved millions and denied the dignity and worth of untold numbers of fellow human beings who perished while under its oppression. Jubilee, in conclusion, gives us that opportunity. It's a historical reminder that invites us to continue to proclaim freedom to the captives. That's from Isaiah 61, verse 1, and that was Jesus' mission statement. When Jesus came forth in Luke 4, 18 and 19, at the start of his ministry, he quoted Isaiah 61, and it begins with the words, to proclaim freedom for the captives. When Jesus read from Isaiah 61, he declared that he had come to also proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And the year of the Lord's favor was what? Jubilee. Slaves are set free, debts are canceled, and land goes back to the original steward owners. I mean, that's the picture of the gospel. It's the picture of the gospel. And we tend to see it in individualistic terms, which is correct, legitimate, spiritual terms, correct and legitimate. But it's also seen in concrete blessings that we're called to partake in as members of the body of Christ. Many of those emancipated in Texas in 1865 saw God as the ultimate source of their deliverance. And Rasul concludes the article, I believe Juneteenth is something for which the whole church can say amen to. And I pray we continue to experience more of the freedom and faith Jesus offers us as we celebrate. Now, one final thing before we're going to start now. On that same table, we had the communion cups. There are all kinds of booklets from Our Daily Bread. put out, and Our Daily Bread has put out a booklet each year for Juneteenth. They're devotional booklets. This is the one out there. There's plenty of these. It's called Jubilee, a Juneteenth celebration. You're all welcome to take a free copy of these. And there are actually several copies from last year's book on Juneteenth. And there are several other copies that apply, several other booklets. And you're free to take those at any time during the service. God bless you all. Let's get started.
We are just getting ready to actually start a meal with everybody. So what I want to do is I want to take a couple of minutes to have us pray over the food. And then basically there's going to be a line forming to the back to the kitchen. There's tables set up here. We're going to be setting up. It looks like we're going to need one, maybe two additional ones. So with that, let's just go before the Lord. Father God, we just thank you that you've saved us, that you've set us free from our sin, that you've brought us into right relationship with you, though we didn't deserve it. Lord, our prayer after seeing today, our prayer as a church has always been, make us one new man in Christ. So Father God, we just ask that that would be ever present on our mind and on our heart, that as we declare our love for you, they will know we're Christians by our love for one another. Father, teach us where we need to grow to glorify you. Teach us how to defer and uplift the other, that it would bring you glory. Teach us how to bring oneness to the church, to become one new man in Christ. And Father, I just thank you for the opportunity to share a meal with brothers and sisters. And I pray, Lord, that you would bless the food. I pray, Lord, that you would bless the fellowship. And I pray that you would teach our hearts what it means as we sit down and reflect on what we just saw and heard. Lord, that you would teach us what it means to be one new man in Christ through fellowshipping with you as we celebrate Juneteenth with our brothers and sisters in Christ. So Lord, we just ask that you bless the food into our bodies, bless our bodies into your service, and we give you all honor, glory, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, so like I said, we can start making our way to the kitchen, and they'll direct you on how things are going to go from in there. Oh yeah, remember that we have the devotional booklets, and you're free to take anything you'd like on those.